you would open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 21. John 8, beginning in verse 21, if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand, have the honor of the reading of God's Word. John 8, 21 through verse 30. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way. You will seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto them, who are you? Jesus says to them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, the Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, that is our prayer. Lord, that as we go over these words, many would believe in you. Father, we pray for those that do not know you, that they would be saved today. We pray for those that know you, Father, that they would be strengthened in their faith and encouraged to follow you closely. Most of all, we'd ask that we would be pleasing in your sight. And that by your mercy and grace, you'd pour out your Spirit upon us. That you would help us to walk in your ways. Father, that you would cause us to stand alone. Because when we do, we are never alone. Father, help us to not be concerned with the praise and applause of men, but to be concerned to only hear your voice saying, well done. Speak, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue looking through this passage of Scripture, it's very important to remember we are looking at little bits and pieces of a continuing, ongoing conversation. We want to keep this always within context. This is Jesus began when they brought the woman caught in adultery. This is where it all began. And it's going to end with them trying to stone him for saying that he is the I Am, that he is God in the flesh. And that's important to remember because what we're going to see in verse 58 is what we saw back in verse 24. Is that Jesus is declaring himself to be God in the flesh. He is the eternal God, the very God that spoke to Moses in the burning bush, who said that he was, I am. That is what Jesus is declaring here within the context. The Pharisees have been upset with him because he has forgiven this woman, he's pardoned her, but in the same doing so, he's condemned them for saying they walk in darkness and they would not come clean and confess their sin and receive forgiveness. They get upset with him. We looked last week, or 2 weeks ago, when he said that he's going his way and they will die in their sins. And verse 21. So verse 22, they say, well, where is he going? If you haven't noticed, and this is not just true of the Pharisees, this is true of all lost people, they don't listen. Remember, Isaiah was told, they will hear, but they won't hear. They will see, but they won't see. Jesus has been telling them from the very beginning, even what Rock read in John 1:1 this morning, that he is the Word. He is with God and was God from all eternity past. Jesus has always declared that he is the Son of God, the eternal God, that he has come from the Father. This is what he said his whole life. You can go all the way back to before Jesus was ever born and the prophets. You can go all the way back to Gabriel coming to Joseph and coming to Mary. You can go all the way back to Elizabeth and John the Baptist leaping in her womb. You can go all the way back to the angels speaking to the shepherds. You can go all the way back to the wise men coming. You can go all the way back to when he's 12 years old in the temple and says, I must be about my Father's business. From the very beginning of his ministry, where John's testimony is, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Where John says that he is the Son of God. You can go all the way back. Jesus has always, even since before his conception, before he ever became flesh in Mary's womb, been the eternal God. He has come from heaven to earth. But lost people don't pay attention. They can't see it. They can't hear it. And so they say, where is he talking about? Maybe he's going to kill himself, because that's something we wouldn't do. Because we can go anywhere he can go. Jesus answers in verse 23, you are from beneath, I'm from above. He repeats himself. If you haven't noticed this, Jesus repeats himself a lot. And it's not because of him, it's because of us. It's because we as human beings need to be told over and over and over and over again. He says, you are from beneath. These are men. They are born of clay. They are dust. They are earthly. They are of this world. Jesus, his origin is divine. He is from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. What Jesus is showing here is that he is not merely a man. He is not a man like they are. Is he a man? Yes, like we looked last Sunday about the Word becoming flesh and how Jesus had to become a man. But Jesus is God who has become a man. His origins were not in Mary's womb. He has existed from eternity past. He has always been and always will be because he is the eternal, everlasting Son of God. He is from above. He is not of this world. He is not like them. Verse 24. I said therefore to you that you will die in your sins. Why is Jesus explaining why he told them they would die in their sins? What we looked at 2 weeks ago. Why did he tell them this? For if you believe not that I am, have they believed or even listened to anything Jesus has said? No. But notice what he says. If you believe not that I am, if you look, he is in italics. If you look in many translations, they put italics, words that are added for a better ease of reading. And many times they get it right, but many times they get it wrong. Okay? The word he, Jesus never uttered. It is not in the Greek. Jesus never spoke it. But it's really poor grammar for someone to say, I am. So when translators translate this, they go, oh, he's saying I am he. No, he said I am. Okay, I don't know if you noticed, but God is a really great theologian, but really bad grammar. Okay? When Moses says, who are you? He says, I am, I am. And your response is, you are what? No. He is the eternal, always existing, ever present, I am God. And so what Jesus is saying to them is, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. They don't even believe that he came from Nazareth and all the other things. They don't even believe anything about him. They have no idea about him and they don't care to. They just know he's wrong. They don't want to have a discussion about it. Remember what we looked at in John 7? They don't want to see whether a prophet can come from Galilee, whether he even came from Galilee, whether he was born in Galilee. They don't care. They're not going to listen. And that's why Jesus has said they're going to die in their sins. Because they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is the I Am, and that Jesus is exactly what he said he was, exactly what Rock read this morning, that he is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. That Jesus is the light, that Jesus is the shepherd, that Jesus is the door, that Jesus is the bread of life, that Jesus is life, that Jesus is the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, that Jesus is all the things that Jesus has been saying that he is. And what Jesus does is he puts men in a corner. And that's what I would like to do this morning, is I want to put you in a corner. And there's only one way out. Or there's two, more properly. Is Jesus telling the truth about who he is? Or is Jesus a liar? You see, in most preaching in most churches in America, and even in most of our lives, we get so concerned with all of these other things, all of the pain and the depression and the hurt and the stress of life, that the most important questions about our soul we conveniently neglect, and we conveniently are allowed to not answer the question. You wonder where politicians get it? They get it from us. Because when we are asked simple questions concerning Jesus Christ and his teachings, you know what we do? We ignore them and we talk about something else. And we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to ask one question. Is Jesus who he said he is? Or is he a liar? There are no other options. Either he is who he said he is, or he's a liar. Because you see, what you have in today's Christianity in America, which is really not Christianity, it's just a kind of perverted religion, is people who are allowed to say, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven when I die, but I will ignore everything Jesus ever said. You don't have that option. Either Jesus is who he said he is, and you should follow him, or he's a liar, and you don't want to be associated with liars. Everything with Jesus is black and white. You're either with him, or you are kind of with him. No, against him. There is no middle ground. You either love him, or you hate him. You are either willing to die for him, or you want him dead. There is no middle ground. There is no, I kind of like him. But what has happened is we've allowed people to say, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and then when we read things Jesus said that we don't like, we're allowed to ignore them while still saying we love Jesus. No, we don't have that option this morning. Either you believe what Jesus says or you die in your sins. That's it. Jesus does not give us the option of ignoring him. This is what you must come down to, is Jesus the I Am, the Christ, the Son of the living God, or is he a liar? And you have to answer the question. And refusing to answer the question only makes you a coward and is an answer that you believe he's a liar. That's what Jesus does. He says, you are going to die and go to hell unless you believe that I am. Unless you believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, the eternal God, the one who holds the keys of life and death, the way, the truth, the life. But notice verse 25. What do they say? Who are you? Jesus, that's really bad grammar. I am. You are what? You are what? Jesus says to them, I love verse 25, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. Okay? My mother used to lecture us as children, and she always got tired of repeating herself. And so she said, I'm going to start numbering the lectures and just tell you, this is lecture number 2, and you need to remember because I've said it so many times to you. Okay? That's the way Jesus is. I have been here for 31 years, 32 years. And I have never said anything different. I have always said the same thing over and over again. You can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Jesus is always saying the exact same thing. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. He has always been, has always said he is the eternal God in the flesh, that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that no one comes to the Father but by me. You can go read John 14:6 10 million times, and he will always say the same thing that he said from the beginning. You can read every word of Jesus Christ in red in the whole of the New Testament, and he will always say the same thing that he's always said. Jesus does not give us any ambiguity or wiggle room. Jesus doesn't say one thing today and something else tomorrow. Jesus is not like us. You know, sometimes we treat Jesus like he's a drunk, that he just said those things under the influence and you can kind of ignore him the next day when the hangover. But he's not that way. What Jesus says, Jesus means, and he says it over and over and over and over again. You know, I'm sure sometimes I sound like a stuck record, but I'm just repeating what he says. And if you haven't noticed, every single time he says the exact same thing. The exact same thing. But he says, again, verse 26, I have many things to say and judge of you. Now, I want to just pause for a minute, because I know that there's a million things going on in everybody's life right now. I understand that. There's marriage problems, health issues, parents' health issues, family issues, financial issues. It's the holidays, all of those things. I understand that. But, you know, Jesus could have done a lot of things in his teachings. That's what Jesus is saying here. Do you think that the creator of the world could have taught us how to be billionaires? Yes. Do you think that the creator of the world could have given us a cure for cancer? Yes. Do you think that the creator of the world could tell you how to raise perfect children? Yes. Do you think the creator of the world could tell you how to have a perfect marriage? Yes. Do you think the creator of the world could tell you how to lose 40 pounds in the next year? Yes. Do you think the creator of the world could tell you all the cures for every disease ever known? Yes. Do you think he could tell you everything that you need to know about anything? Yes. He has a whole bunch of stuff he wants to say. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. But God has not sent him to teach those things. This is what is so horrible about the health, wealth, and prosperity preaching. Jesus was not sent to tell you how to be rich. Jesus was not sent to tell you how to be healthy. Jesus was not sent to tell you how to be prosperous. Jesus was not sent to cure cancer. Jesus was not sent to do all of these things and bring world peace through the UN. He wasn't sent to put a Republican in the White House. Jesus was sent by God for one reason, and that is to save his people from their sins. Because your problem is not marriage, money, family, health. Your problem is your soul. That is the problem. And we as human beings want to think about everything but our souls. This is why we point fingers at everyone else. You're my problem. You're my problem. You're my problem. You're my problem. Those people in Washington are the problem. Because the hardest thing is to look in the mirror and realize that there is something wrong with my soul. Jesus Christ was not sent to cure cancer. He was sent to cure the cancer of sin. He was sent not to make you live to be 120, but to make you live forever by healing your soul. And here they are, and they have all these questions, and Jesus is saying, you're missing the thing. You're missing the main point. Have you ever met people that want to argue about everything that doesn't matter? And then when you begin to go to what matters, they don't want to talk about it? You were like that in church. We want to study the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Let's put a chart for Revelation. Let's teach about all those things. Just a little footnote. Jesus wasn't sent to explain Revelation to you. He was sent to save you from Revelation 19 and 20 when he judges the earth and throws all men in hell. You see, we get so caught up in, we want to talk about how many angels can sit on the head of a pin. Well, we're talking about more seriously. We're talking about more serious things than that. But really, the truth be told, what we want to talk about is the things that don't offend and the things that don't do anything. Jesus, if you notice every interaction Jesus has with people, what does he do? He goes straight to their soul and deals with their soul. Every interaction. Jesus does not get caught up in, when's the end of the world going to be? Jesus talks about that a little bit, but what does he talk to? He talks to them directly about their lives, directly about their souls. You see, we get so caught up and we want to just talk about all of these crazy things. I talk with people and they're looking for a church and I don't want a church with this type of music and that type of music. And I go, whoa. What about your soul? Do you want a church where the pastor preaches about your soul? No, I want a church that doesn't have a drum set or doesn't have guitars or only plays hymns or only sings praise songs. What about your soul? We don't care. That's just the truth. That's all Jesus wants to talk about is your soul. Jesus doesn't talk about whether you should do recliners or have light shows or TV screens. He doesn't talk about that. Why? What matters is the soul. Jesus doesn't talk about whether you have a wood pulpit or acrylic pulpit, whether you paint the steeple or put a cross on it or not have a steeple at all. He doesn't talk about those things. What does he talk about? Your soul. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And so this is why we're going to put ourselves in a corner. We're not talking about anything today except what Jesus is talking about. Are there many other things we could talk about? Yes. But what does the Father want us to talk about? Who is Jesus Christ? And that's what we're going to talk about. Notice this in verse 27. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. If you haven't noticed, mankind, apart from God's regenerative work, we're pretty dense. And we don't get it. We don't. Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, what is he speaking of? When Jesus Christ has died, what will he do? He will rise again from the dead. He will ascend to God's right hand. He will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, then you'll know that I am. What did he begin in verse 21? It's too late for you. Why is it too late? Because they don't believe that he's I am. He says, oh, but there's coming a time when you'll know I am. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Everyone will be a believer. But for many, it'll be too late. That's what he's telling them. You don't get it now, but there's coming a day when I will smash you with a rod of iron and you'll get it. That's what he's telling them. He's telling them there's going to come a day when I will break you like a piece of clay. I will break you like cheap china. And then you will believe that I am. I am. Notice. He says, I do nothing of myself. As my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We could learn a great lesson from Jesus in this. Jesus is basically saying, I don't care if any of you believe in me and follow me. I have God the Father, and that's all I need. Do what you will. All he needs is the Father. And as a result of this, in verse 30, many people believed on him. So I want to take this and I want to look at several things and apply them to our lives. And I want to ask this simple question. Is Jesus telling the truth or is Jesus a liar? You have to answer that question. I was talking with someone recently and they said, all you Christian people just need to stop judging me. You need to be more like Jesus. You need to be more like Jesus. Why can't you people be like Jesus? I said, okay, the Jesus that said, you are a twofold son of hell, you're a child of Satan, you're a viper, you will burn in hell forever, and the worms will eat you forever. That loving Jesus that didn't judge people? He didn't want to talk about Jesus anymore after that. He changed the subject. But here's the truth. You have to deal with that Jesus whether you like it or not. Is he telling the truth when he says that hell is a fire that burns forever and the worm does not die? Is he telling the truth? If the answer is no, he's a liar, then why are you even claiming to be a Christian? There's the door. I'm being serious. I'm not being facetious. Quit doing us a disservice and ruining the name of Christians by not believing anything Jesus said while claiming to be a believer. Is he the only way to the Father? Yes or no? If the answer is no, why are you here? Why? You're going to waste your time following a liar? Seriously. Why would you even waste? I mean, you got an hour. You could stay home and watch football and eat Cheetos. I mean, like, why are you here? Is he the only way to God? Now, this is where it begins to get harder. When he says that if you look after a woman with lust, you're in danger of hellfire. Is he telling the truth? When he says, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, cut off your foot, is he telling the truth or is he a liar? When he says, if you have aught against your brother and you don't go to speak to him, you will be delivered to the judge and you will be thrown in hell, is he telling the truth or is he a liar? When he says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven, is he telling the truth or is he a liar? When he says, to seek out the sheep that has gone astray, and if the sheep will not be restored, let him be to you a heathen and a publican, is he telling the truth, yes or no, or is he a liar? You see, we're all cool with, oh, he's my ticket to heaven. But is he telling the truth in everything, or is he lying in everything? You don't get to avoid the question. You see, this is where it goes well beyond your salvation. Jesus doesn't say and give us the option, hey, say a little prayer, get your ticket to heaven, you're good. No, Jesus says he is the narrow gate and he is the narrow way and that you have to sell everything and follow him. But I guess he's lying because we don't want to give up everything and follow him. Is he telling the truth or is he lying? If he's telling the truth, why don't you obey him? You know, that would really make a good Bible verse. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? It's the truth. But churches are filled with people who say Jesus is Lord and will not do what he commands. You might as well look him straight in the face and say, you're a liar, I don't believe you. Do you believe what Jesus says about marriage, about divorce, about children, about money, about church? Is it true? You know, I've encountered people on numerous occasions with numerous passages of Scripture. You know, I remember one guy, we were in a restaurant, and I asked him about John 8. No man can come unless the Father draw him. And he refused to actually say whether people could come to Jesus, whether the Father draws him or not. He just ignored the question and went on. I remember having a discussion with a woman in my office about Ephesians 1. Okay, she said, I don't believe that. I said, well, what does it mean? I don't want to talk about it. I have discussions with people about elders, about church membership, about everything. And you know what they refuse to do? They refuse to even read the Bible. Oh, but they're believers and they love Jesus and they're going to heaven when they die. That's a lie! How can you believe in Jesus and not believe a word he says? How can you call him Lord and not obey him? You can't. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I didn't say it, he did. So here's the question. Is he the I am? That's it. If he is the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, then you should give up your entire life for him. If he is not, then go your way. And don't claim to be a Christian. Either go through the narrow gate and walk on the narrow road, or go be a pagan. There are no other options. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either on the narrow road or the broad way. You're either going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or you're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. There is no middle ground. You're either going to give up everything and follow Jesus Christ, change everything in your life, have the awkward conversations, do the hard things, make things right with other people, repent, and the whole nine yards, or you're going to hell. There is no other option. Jesus does not give it anywhere in Scripture. Preachers give it. Jesus doesn't. And I defy you to find anywhere in the Word of God where he does. He doesn't. So I must ask you again, is Jesus telling the truth or is he lying? That's it. If he's telling the truth and he is the I am, then you should give him your entire life. If he's not, why waste an hour on Sunday morning for him? It's simple. But I also want to notice that in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says there's a whole bunch more stuff.